John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, first thing we'll do this hour is give you the latest Pastathon numbers. Are you excited, John?
Tell me. Do we have a drum roll?
Do we have horns? Do we have any?
You have any kind of, you have nothing?
Nothing triumphant?
Well, we have
nothing.
Tony today, so.
Well,
Eric's off.
Still, right, be a button.
Eric has no access to the orchestra.
All right, well, here we go. As of right now, you're going to do your own little.
Woohoo, woohoo. How's that?
Oh, you were the one that did that?
No, I did it.
He did that, and I did the woohoo.
All right, the dollars raised, $684,467, and the poundage of pasta and sauce now stands at $66,355. Oh, there's something.
The horn section woke up.
It's a little late, but sure.
That's great. That's a lot.
It's still
That's
going.
A lot of money.
And you can still donate through Sunday at the Smart and Finals. That's still around. California, Arizona, Nevada. $10 or more at checkout. That's always been great. You can still do that. You go to pastathon.com to donate and to find out more about how you can donate.
Yes,
there you go.
You're helping out a lot of hungry children through Chef Bruno.
A listener sent me, and I couldn't find it because it was a few hours ago, and they probably fixed it. It was a screenshot from the wonderful Daily Mail, you know, the tabloid out of the United Kingdom, and they have like their U.S. edition. And it was a story about woke DAs who have been bankrolled by George Soros. It's one of your favorite topics.
Oh, I saw a headline somewhere about that. I wanted to read that.
It's a good story. We may get to it later.
It's true.
It has DAs in Loudoun County, and it has Los Angeles County.
Gascon. Soros is a multi-billionaire, and he's the one, through various organizations, funding all these destructive attorneys.
I'm sure it's been fixed, but the picture that appears for George Gascon, it's Larry Elder.
Oh.
So somebody in their room where they're one of their offices who's responsible for posting the picture.
I think that's
grabbed the wrong picture.
I think that's
it's Larry Elder's face. Yeah,
it's a disguise.
George Gascon underneath.
No, that's how Gascon disguises himself.
Oh, that's pretty good.
He's under a lot of pressure, so.
I couldn't find it currently. That was a screenshot somebody took a few hours ago, so they probably have fixed their error. All right. Well, we're back to the stank in Carson story. Been a big development today.
Yes. The South Coast Air Quality Management District announced violations against not only the County of Los Angeles, but four companies for the stink coming out of the Dominguez Channel in Carson. And this is a stink that's gone on for 2 months. And people from Carson, West Carson, parts of Gardena, Torrance, Redondo Beach, Wilmington, and Long Beach have been sniffing this horrific rotten eggs sewage odor. It's hydrogen sulfide. And there's two companies, Virgin Scent Incorporated, which does business as Art Naturals and Day-to-Day Imports. They had large quantities of wellness and beauty products. I don't know what a wellness product is. At a warehouse on Avalon Boulevard, the warehouse is owned by Liberty Properties Limited Partnership, and there's a parent company, Prologis, and big fire happened on September 30th, and the fire continued for days.
It burned for days, yeah.
Chemicals contained in the products, including ethanol, got into the sewer system, into the flood channel.
Aha!
And then they claim
this was followed by an anaerobic decay of organic materials in the channel, which caused elevated levels of hydrogen sulfide to be emitted to the air.
And we had said that because the Department of Public Health in L.A. County, led by that genius Barbara Ferrer, kept insisting that this was rotting vegetation in the channel because of the drought, you know, climate change, right? That was the angle. There's constant drought in Southern California.
Yes.
So nobody's ever.
If there hadn't been this warehouse fire, it would certainly not have been as strong an odor. Yeah.
So we have Anna Menny. Yeah. She's back on with us. She's from Carson, and there was a protest today over this.
Oh.
Anna, how are you?
I could be better, but hey, I'm trucking along.
Well, how do you feel now about the possibility of inhaling these chemicals?
I'm so over it. We are so over it. We were released from our hotels on the 26th, and immediately thousands of us were released by the county and to return home. And we all immediately started getting sick again. It's not the same sick as before. You know, can't take in the rotten carcass smell. I don't know. We don't know what it is, but we instantly, when you get back in the impacted areas in Carson, we're immediately having different respiratory issues, nasal, my throat, headaches. And it's nerve-wracking not knowing what is it. You know, it's just such unsettling and knowing that people are still getting sick. But, they, you know, according to everybody, no smell, therefore we should have no symptoms. If that's the case, why are all of us getting sick?
So the smell is gone, but your symptoms are still there.
Yes, the smell is now different. It just smells like a kind of like when you're surrounded by cleaning chemicals and stuff. Mm. And it changes. And I tell people, you know, there is this thing called the wind. So depending on where area you live and where you feel more impacted, we have these little spurts of smell. So it's just a little nerve-wracking not knowing what are we inhaling. And it's making us immediately, our throats get irritated and sore, or, you know, nasal or bleeding and nosebleeds and having all kinds. For me, it's immediately is the headache.
Are these the same symptoms you had before they allegedly treated the channel?
Yes. Well, yes. And according to the county, in the preparation for us to return home, they told us to make sure to take out your rubbish because, you know, apparently gas comes from the rubbish and we probably don't know the difference. And they told us to air out our house, but then turn around, close your windows and close your doors if the smell starts up. And the kicker out of the return to home guide they even provided us was to also, if the odors persist and it's bothersome to us, to relocate.
They're telling you to air out your house at the same time they tell you to close the windows to keep the stink out.
Yes. If the odors persist and we have symptoms.
Is this the Department of Public Health? Also, the Public Works Department is
yes, it's been
involved.
Yes. The guide, I believe, came out of Department of Public Health.
Wow.
And so we considered it, you know, quite condescending, the fact that they think that we don't know the difference between the smell of a rubbish versus the smell that's, you know.
But they want to blame it on the residents' garbage?
Yes. It's in the guide. That's available online on the Dominguez Channel Odor Incident website.
You talk about blaming the victim. This is crazy.
Yeah.
The people
government
are crazy. The Public Works, the Board of Health, the Public Health Department. This is ridiculous. They've got horrible things in cosmetics and beauty products. Horrible chemicals.
Horrible.
I wear makeup. I wear makeup.
I know.
You know, also, too, I'm not getting sick from the makeup I purchased at the store. So it's just, you know, we just feel like we're going in circles. And, you know, for California, for being so heavily regulated in everything, you would think we would be one of the safest spaces to live in. And I'm not feeling that at all. And it worries me because, you know, we're not a cat with 9 lives. We have 1 life.
Yeah.
And is us coming back and staying in my hometown that I've lived in my whole life, is this going to cause something to me that's going to impact me the rest of my life?
I was going to say, you've been there a long time, and you've never had a period like this with these kind of odors, have you?
Never. I've lived here my whole life. My family immigrated here from Samoa in the early 70s and settled in Carson. I was born here. Lived here my whole life. We have never, ever experienced anything like this. And I even asked old timers who have lived here even before the city was incorporated in 68 and who lived, you know, in from the neighborhood, and they have never, ever at this level. You know, so it's just the fear of the unknown. I'm not a scientist. I don't know all this stuff. And so it's just nerve-wracking. This is where we need our officials. We need our officials to advocate for us and to look out for us, for our well-being.
No, they don't
care what level of government.
Instead, they're blaming you and giving you stupid advice, like air out your house and close the windows.
Well, Anna, stay strong. We really appreciate your fighting this, you and your neighbors protesting and continuing to yell. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, and we're going to stay on the case. So let us know if nothing gets better.
Oh, God. I hope I don't have to.
Yeah, I honestly hope
if I have something, you know, but we really appreciate you guys keeping in the loop and bringing it to the forefront to let people know it still exists. Residents were impacted, and we need help. We need help that our government entities, please help us and fix this.
Anna, thanks very much for coming on with us.
Again, that's Anna Mina from Carson, and the report today isn't just the vegetation of the Dominguez Channel BS story they gave us. What do you know? There was a big warehouse fire at the end of September that burnt for days. It certainly contributed to the stank there. More coming up.
John and Ken Show, John Cobelt and Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, well, we'll have an update of the Michigan school shooting story after the news at 3:30. The parents have been charged, as well as the 15-year-old son that did the shooting, but the parents... Wow. Anyway, as of now, they're not found. And according to their attorney, they're just going someplace safe because they've been threatened. We'll find out more after 3:30 from ABC News. From the world of Omicron, the WHO says nobody's... The WHO.
Is that still around?
The World Health Organization says nobody's died yet that they know of from Omicron variant.
This seems like a dud.
I think it is.
It seems like extreme hype and... there's no payoff here.
Let's shut down the world again for a very mild.
Yeah, it just fed into that whole mentality, all these dictators and nags and scolds, the vaccine scolds, the mask nags, all these.
Apparently, though, that hasn't stopped governments all over the planet from imposing vaccine mandates to work or to enter places of business. So Italy is one of those places, and this is a first. Apparently, a man, in order to get proof of vaccination, went into a clinic, and a nurse was about to inject him with the COVID vaccine. Then she realized that his arm was foam rubber. Yeah, her name is Philippa Bua. She was preparing to give the man the dose of COVID. She realized that the small patch of arm he offered in a gap between his sweatshirt and his T-shirt looked a lot pinker than his face. And when she touched it, she realized it was rubber foam.
He was wearing a rubber foam corset with fake arms. It's a theatrical prop.
So his real arms were tucked underneath the corset? So they were all tucked
probably.
Inside. Yeah,
yeah.
Right, a theatrical prop.
Right, so he was...
She said it was actually made quite well, but it's stupid to think that she wouldn't know the difference between real skin and rubber foam.
Yeah, what did she say? She was humiliated? Because the guy thought she was... And I'm thinking, boy, are you a little oversensitive? Guy tries... you're humiliated? Why, he thought that I would fall for this? I mean, I've been a professional for so many years now. Wow. Nobody laughs anymore. The whole world. If you worked at a medical office and you're supposed to do the injections and he grabbed the guy and he's got a foam rubber arm, what would you do? Would you get upset and humiliated to say, what the hell are you doing, buddy?
I'd say, nice try.
Exactly. Guy's walking around in a rubber corset. and she's humiliated. I don't know.
Wanted the shot or the fake shot and the fake arm to provide proof so he could go to work. By the way, 87% of Italy's adult population has had at least a single shot. Only 13% have not. They're actually one of the better countries in terms of compliance. But
did you ever hear what ball players were using for urine testing some years back?
Yeah, rubber penises.
It was called the Wizinator.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Right, and
the drug testing.
Right, and you'd have this thing strapped around your waist, unzip your fly, and you take out your Wizinator, and it was...
Because a guy sometimes watches to make sure you're not just using, you know, a test tube full of someone else's urine.
Right.
So they want to actually see you take a leak.
Players were bringing in their...
And they're trying to fake them out with a rubber penis.
Their buddy's urine. So then they bring in the fake penis. And I guess some players got away with it.
It did work, yeah.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, somebody finally got caught. I don't know, the guy reached out and grabbed it to check, and, hey, that's no penis there.
All right, coming up next, we'll be checking in with ABC News. The Michigan school shooting story took a twist today. They did charge the parents with manslaughter, but the parents, for the moment, are not showing up. They're nowhere to be found. We'll get more from ABC News.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt, Ken Shampo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, well, dominating one of the big news stories today around the country is this 15-year-old school shooter in Michigan, a place called Oxford, Ethan Crumley. Today, the development was they charged his parents. He shot and killed, of course, four schoolmates. There's more detail that's come out, too, concerning the warning signs that were given off by this teenager that teachers noticed. But the parents have been charged, but apparently right now their whereabouts are not known. We're going to get an update on the whole story from ABC News and Dave Packer.
Dave, welcome. How are you?
Well, thank you. And yeah, it's getting stranger and stranger, this story. They were supposed to show up, the parents, around 2 o'clock this afternoon, local time. An arraignment was scheduled for 4 in the afternoon. They were a no-show. A search ensued. The lawyer for the parents had said, one of the lawyers said, it's okay. There's some sort of a confusion because they didn't expect that the prosecutor, Karen McDonald, was going to announce the charges before they were told privately. So they're at a location out of town because they feared for their safety, and they're on the way in. But then he admitted that he hasn't spoken to the parents, and the U.S. Marshals are on the case right now. They've adopted the case, and so they're on the hunt. And authorities are saying, well, the lawyers can say what they want, but until they show up, they're MIA, and we're going to try and find them.
Is it true the prosecutor did notify the local county sheriff that they were going to press charges, so the sheriffs were not able to tail?
Yeah, there was some confusion, and depending on who you ask, you kind of get a different thing, you know, different story there, and about how, you know, what order this was supposed to have taken place in. So yeah, there's a little bit of that, but what we do know is that the prosecutor felt compelled to make the announcement publicly this afternoon, and just felt that these charges, even though it's highly unusual for parents in a school shooting to any charges to be pressed, but she just felt that their negligence in her was so egregious, and that there were so many warning signs missed, and that perhaps they also, with their actions, contributed to this event.
Right, and the charges would be involuntary manslaughter?
Involuntary manslaughter for giving him access to this gun, easy access to the gun. It apparently was kept in their bedroom in a drawer where he knew about it and had access to it. He took it out and took some pictures of it and posted them on social media. Was with the father when the gun was being purchased. And although it's a semi-automatic handgun and a 15-year-old wouldn't be allowed to have that gun, the mother on social media said, basically, we bought a gun for our son. And he said the same thing. This is a picture of the gun, that my new gun, you know, basically saying it was his. And then there's the whole following day when he was called into the principal's office for drawing this disturbing drawing of somebody shot with blood everywhere in the picture and bullets and the words, "The thoughts don't stop. Help me. My life is useless." Having this meeting, the father at the time not even realizing that the gun is not at home in that drawer, but in the backpack of his son in that meeting, the parents even being told that within 48 hours he should get into counseling, they kind of declined that and said send him back to class.
All right,
then the school says go ahead.
So they let him out to go back to class?
Yes.
So he wasn't even no discipline.
He wasn't even sent home for the day. All right. So when they had that meeting, did the principal have the notes with the drawings and the writings that says blood everywhere, thoughts won't stop, help me? And did they know that he was looking up ammunition on his phone earlier?
Yeah. The day before he was looking up the ammunition. A teacher called home the mother sends a text to the son saying, not, you know, what are you doing, but saying, LOL, I'm not mad at you. You have to learn not to get caught. Okay, so that's number one.
Wow.
Then this meeting the next day, yes, that they saw the picture. In fact, they saw the pictures, and he scribbled out some of the things that he had written on there, but a teacher took a picture of this drawing in the class, and so they know what he was writing
on. So they knew this when they called the family in?
Correct.
Wow.
They knew it. And that drawing was there in the meeting with the principal, and number one, the parents said, no, we're not going to bring them home, and the school, number two, said, okay, well, back to class. So, you know, it's just, there's just so many missed opportunities to stop this thing.
And now the superintendent said that there was no discipline that was required by the situation.
Well, that's what he said. I mean, I guess you can write disturbing things on a piece of paper.
Yeah, but...
You know, I don't know. He didn't make any threats.
And not even discipline. You don't even have to call it discipline. It's like,
but apparently he wrote it in a notebook about his intentions. He made a video. If anybody had done a little more reaching and
right.
pressed this kid, they might have found all this other stuff.
Yeah. And there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, there were so many warning signs, and there's got to be some soul searching. And not just for this school district, but... You know, for so many, for other school districts, are we missing things? You know, are we systematically missing things with these warning signs?
You know, though, except you can miss things, but this stuff was put right in front of their eyes.
Absolutely. And you know, on the one hand, yeah, definitely school should have checked out these warning signs. On the other hand, you know, and this is what the prosecutor said, the parents gave him easy access to guns when... they should have known that they're, you know, that he was not in a good way. So, you know, what's going on here?
It's all
That's
baffling.
What the prosecutor's getting
it's,
at.
It's baffling yeah. that there wasn't one adult either in the home or in the school administration or among the teachers who said, hey, at the very least, let's get him off the campus and deal with this somewhere else. And nobody
yeah.
checked the backpack.
And the father did, you know, as soon as the school shooting happened, he ran home looking for that gun. So he must have known immediately at that point. And then the mother, when she heard about the school shooting, sends a text saying, Ethan, don't do it.
Well, that's a little late.
Can you imagine what the parents whose children were shot killed are thinking?
And wounded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's heartbreaking. You don't know whether to be heartbroken or just angry.
Yeah.
At the warning signs that were missed here, and now we have the parents on the lam, so we don't know where they are. The U.S. Marshals are out looking. We'll see if they've come up with anything.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much for that report.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Dave Packer, ABC News, on the horrible story out of Michigan. The 15-year-old school shooter, of course, he's been charged terrorism along with murder.
What's wrong with
his parents got charged today, and they're nowhere to be found at the moment.
What's wrong with everybody? I remember reading that the school, some of the students said that they had gone through active shooter training.
Yes.
So... They go through all the active shooter drills.
They think that was helpful in what happened
right.
Tuesday.
But when you have obvious evidence that you've got somebody who's in great distress, he's even writing, help me. The thoughts can't stop. What does it tell you?
Now, usually the parents are ignorant, but I think they were pretty close to knowing what the situation was.
Is that why they bought him a gun?
Yeah, that's a good question. The father bought the gun, but the mother said it was his Christmas gift, the 15-year-old.
Was he complaining about the way he was getting treated at school? And it's like, well, here, you might want to protect yourself. You might want to...
Yeah. If you're getting bullied, you may need this. I don't know, because that's the reports that he was getting bullied, but we don't know. All right, because they're still searching for a motive. Blah. More coming up.
John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it was just a couple of weeks ago, in case you missed it. Old Joe did turn 79 years old on November 20th. And there were concerns today about his health. He did come out to talk about the jobs report. Real exciting. We have a small piece of audio, and some say he doesn't sound well. Let's listen.
Every year, December brings the joys of the holiday season and gives us an opportunity to reflect on the year gone by and look ahead and begin to imagine the new year to come. This year, we can reflect on an extraordinary bit of progress. Our economy is markedly stronger than it was a year ago. And today, the incredible news that our unemployment rate has fallen to 4.2%. At this point in the year, we're looking at the sharpest one-year decline in unemployment ever. Simply put, America is back to work. And our jobs recovery is going very strong. Every year, December brings the joys of the holiday season and gives us an opportunity to reflect on the year gone by.
All right, please.
And look
stop.
Ahead.
Stop.
And begin to...
stop.
How can that only be 38 seconds? That felt like 10 minutes. Really, sometimes I look at the cut sheet here and I'm like, that can't be, because it was just going on and on. Anyway, you got the idea. And you know, when people's voice gets down there on that level, it's because they got some sort of head cold or something.
And
going
he's
on.
Had a lot of hacking. Coughing fits. When he's
does he have speaking. COVID? Does he have Omicron?
Well, you know, he addressed this here in cut number two.
Oh, he did? Okay.
First of all, Mr. President, your voice sounds a little different. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I have a test every day to see a COVID test. I have it checking for all the strains. What I have is a 1.5-year-old grandson who had a cold who likes to kiss his pop. And he'd been kissing in my anyway. So
that's right.
But it's just a cold.
Blame your grandchild. Good Lord.
Well, kiss his pop. Isn't that your father usually? The grandfather's like pop pop, right?
He should be. Yeah, he should be pop pop. Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually what
but,
they say.
Yeah, he blames the grandkid. Yeah. That is a very gravelly sound there. He's got this rumble, deep low rumble to his voice. Yeah. Very terrible condition.
A story I saw today is that. You know, Hunter Biden had a love child, right?
At least one, yeah.
Well, I mean, that child, his grandfather's president. So apparently Bidens don't really recognize the...
No, that kid doesn't get to visit? He doesn't get to kiss Pop-Pop?
It was something about, you know, pictures and mentions of all the Biden family, and they left out the...
Did you see he had another...
That was the one with the stripper, right?
Yeah.
The one that Hunter Biden denied, and then he took the paternity test. And
right.
Sure enough, it was his kid, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Brett, did you see he had another Alzheimer's moment?
No, I did not see.
Wednesday, he was speaking publicly and claimed that he once met with the Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir to become a liaison between her administration and the Egyptians during the 1967 Six-Day War.
Hmm.
Except Golda Meir was not the prime minister of Israel then, and Biden was still in law school.
Well,
something
wrong.
He did meet her in 1973 when she was prime minister and he was a senator, and they were meeting right before the Yom Kippur War. Israelis denied that they ever wanted Biden to be a liaison to anything.
All right, when we come back, of course, it's a lot of what people are talking about. Yesterday, the mayor and the chief of LAPD, Michael Moore, announced the arrest of 14 people in those smash-and-grab robberies that happened there in November. And then, fast forward, released them all. We'll be talking about it next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Marquez News, KFI AM 640.